recording. See what happens.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Hi, everybody. It's Nancy Hassel here from American and Long Island Pet Professionals, and thank you for joining us for our Lunch and Learn teleseminar for pet professionals. And I am excited today to be speaking with the fabulous Michelle Mascali, the former editor of Pet Age magazine. It's a must-have magazine if you are a pet professional. You can see the magazine online at petage.com, and you can subscribe to it as well. So, Michelle, thank you so much for being here and taking time out of your busy schedule for speaking and for educating our listeners today. And I said former editor, but that's like less than 24 hours that you're the former editor of Pet Age, correct?
Yes, correct. Yesterday was my last day after 2 years with the company.
Well, you've done a fabulous job with the magazine, and I've known you for probably about 5 years, so I know you've been in the pet industry and in media for quite a while. This is something that you've been doing for a long time, and congratulations on your new position that you took recently. I can't wait to hear all about it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I know you do a fantastic job. So, Michelle, as the former editor of Pet Age and somebody that has a pretty popular blog as well, I'm sure you get inundated with press releases and new information to report on daily. Can you tell us, tell our listeners, what they should be sending to you in a press release that is going to help them stand out from the crowd of releases that you get?
Sure. Be clear and concise. Get to the point. Don't tell me what you want me to cover, you know, three paragraphs down. Put it right up at the top. Get to the point. Don't write ridiculously long subject lines. Sometimes that gets put into my junk mail, and sometimes I'm just not going to be able to read it all. I need it quick, concise, everything right there. Do your research. Read the magazine. Read if you're pitching my blog, read the blog. Know what we cover, know what we don't cover, know what we've covered in the past. Get my name correct, or anyone who you're sending something to. I can't tell you the number of emails that I get sent to either former editors or other people. Get the person's name correct that you're sending it to. Know some AP style.
Oh. Go ahead.
Know AP style, at least the basics. The least amount of work I need to redo when I take your press release and put it either onto the website or into the magazine, the better. So I want a press release that I don't have to rewrite completely, that's easier to just put out there. So know our style. Ditch the attachments. It's a mobile world. It's a lot easier for me when I'm looking on my iPhone to be able to read and find out what the news is than have to hit another attachment. Sometimes the attachment doesn't come. This happened a few weeks ago with a breaking news situation where the company wanted to get news out there right away, and it took probably about 45 minutes to an hour longer than it would have because it was sent as an attachment and not in the body of the email, and the attachment never came through. So we had to email them back, and we were like, well, what's going on? This is confusing. It was a disaster. So ditch attachment. Make sure it's in the body of the email, especially in this mobile world. Also, don't try to sell me. Tell me your information. Get to the point. Don't tell me how great and wonderful and put all of these adjectives before your product. Everyone else is doing that too. If you tell me exactly what it is, get to the point, I will be able to get it in faster and easier than having to edit all of those things out.
Those are all amazing and fantastic tips. And I have to say, one of the things I agree with you on is the attachment, that it goes to spam sometimes. When somebody sends an attachment, that happens with photos as well. Wouldn't you agree that if you put many photos available instead of attaching the photos, because you may not be able to open the photo?
Yes, absolutely. The other problem is I do a lot of work remotely. So if you send me a link, it's a whole lot easier to forward that link back to the office or to the designer who needs it, or even later on when I'm, you know, back at a hotel or something where I can do it. If I'm sitting in an airport somewhere and I need to, you know, try to read your email and it's waiting to download all of these photos, that ends up becoming very messy.
Yeah, I agree. And there's so many services out there now that if you have a link like Dropbox, you could just email them the link and say, here's the Dropbox for the photos that went along with the press release I just sent you, and graphics and anything else. It makes life so much easier.
Oh, way easier. Way easier.
Yeah. Then, so I just want to go back to, you mentioned having a short subject line. Like, what really stands out if somebody puts something in a subject line to you for a press release? I mean, I know sometimes it's hard, as I'm on the opposite end. Sometimes I'm pitching somebody, and you want to get information in there. You don't want to make it too long. You don't want to add symbols, because a lot of times that goes to your spam as well, like ampersands or exclamation points or whatever. So for you, what have you seen that really works, like that's clear and concise that you said earlier?
I think, like, let's say you're pitching a new product or you want me to come to your event. So I wouldn't just put, like, new product in the – I'd put, like, new product because you know that we cover new products. So I would do new product and then what that new product is. So I know right away what I'm getting myself into as soon as I open that, or I also know who I need to immediately send that to. The other way that helps is a lot of times the person that you're sending the email to is not maybe the one who is the one – is not the person who is actually dealing with the email. So I'm taking that email and forwarding it on. I don't need to rewrite the subject of that email. So when I forward it on, someone else already knows, okay, new product, this is where it needs to go. The other thing is if you want to, you know, an event. So you put event and then tell me what the event is and when it is. I think that those are the easiest ways to do that. Just be clear and to the point.
Yeah, that's awesome advice. And then what about follow-up? You know, I mean, you send a press release to a pet magazine editor or to anybody, and then you don't hear back because, again, you get inundated daily with press releases. What is a good way to follow up? How far in between sending a press release out to following up with that person because they may not have remembered it from a week ago? What is your advice on that?
A second email, I usually suggest a second email maybe a week later. Usually I try to at least get back to people whether we're going to run something or not, or at least acknowledge, like, thanks, and tell them that we got it. So most of the people I work with on a regular basis know that. And but again, I miss things too. So I would do a week later a follow-up. What I would suggest not doing, which happens quite a bit, is send me a press release, and about 5 minutes later you call me and say, have you looked at the press release? I just want to make sure you got it. And it's usually like, well, I'm either not at my desk sometimes, or no, I haven't gotten it. And then I feel stupid because I haven't looked at my email. Maybe I'm in the middle of doing something else, or I'm having a meeting, or, you know, there's a clear reason why I have not gotten to it yet. So I think, you know, a week later, if it's time sensitive, you know, if it is something like a breaking news email, or you need something covered that night, you know, maybe a follow-up email an hour later, or maybe a phone call a few hours later, but that's only if it's, you know, something immediate. Like if there's something going on and you're trying to pitch someone, you know, as an expert or something like that, where you know, especially, you know, maybe not in the magazine world, but something where something happens in the world and you're trying to get someone on TV, or you're trying to get, you know, people to realize that you're an expert, you can comment about this, then I would say do that. But if it's just a regular, typical press release, give it probably about a week.
All right, that's excellent. So let me ask you this. Can you give us an example of a pitch that you got via email that really stood out in the past that you were like, wow, that's a great either subject line or that caught my attention?
Yes. Whenever a big trade show comes up, like Global or Super Zoo, we always get tons of emails from PR people and from companies asking us to come visit their booth and to cover their booth and stop by. We get tons of these. A lot of times it's pretty, you know, they're trying to sell us to come there. I got this one email. It was actually this past year at Global, and it was from a PR company. They listed in the body of the email all of their clients, said, we would love for you to please stop by. If you have time, we understand you're very busy. So they kind of, you know, they played to the thing of, we get that you might not have time to do this, but we would like you to. They listed all of their clients, their booth numbers, and then they also listed all of their Twitter handles, their other social media, their Instagram, everything that I would need at that moment if I went to their booth. So they did their research because they know that most of the booths that I would go to at a trade show, I usually take a picture and put it on Instagram and tweet it, and also, you know, tag them in Facebook. So they gave me all of that information, everything that I needed in one email. It was in the body of the email. I actually saved the email because I could save it right to my phone, and I had everything right there when I needed to go to their booth. It made life so much easier.
That's an awesome example. I actually think I got that same email.
It really did help.
Yes, I remember thinking, wow, somebody put this together in a concise way that made life so much easier that, okay, and I remember I actually printed it out because I'm still a paper type of girl, even though I'm mobile, and I highlighted the ones that I definitely wanted to go to, and I sent them a text and said, these are the ones I want to see, and that was it. And when I was down at Global, it was super easy. It was like, okay. And they gave you the media tour. So that, it's so funny that you picked that. I had no idea. That is exactly true. So,
it was so much easier.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, can you give us an example of somebody that really, you know, kind of got it all wrong when they pitched you, either if it was the subject line, the press release, whatever that they did?
I actually have a few. One is, a lot of people will put re, like a small r and a small e and a colon before the subject line, like they're replying to something that I've already sent them.
Uh-huh.
So it makes it seem like you've already had a contact with them. And it's a sneaky way to make me open your email maybe a little bit faster because I think that we're already having a conversation. But once I open it and I realize, there are two things that happen. Once I open it and realize that it's a trick. And second, then I'm looking to see, oh my God, did I forget that I talked to this person? And then I'm searching through all my notes and searching through my emails. And I'm like, wait a minute, did I have a conversation? So it kind of causes an unnecessary chain of events that are not exactly probably a positive thing that you want an editor to have to go through when they realize, oh, wait a minute, I never talked to this person. They just put that there. One other thing, again, calling right after you've sent an email, people have done that. Two examples of things that have actually happened were we had one company who they constantly mailed me their releases. They would call me and leave me numerous messages. It was just constant hounding. The problem, though, is that when you went to a show to talk to them, no one knew anything that was going on. No one even knew that they were sending these releases, and no one would talk to you. So then when I was going to be giving you the press that you wanted, you wouldn't even talk to me. So you kind of defeated all of the PR that you were doing, trying to get me to your booth or trying to get me to cover you. The other thing was, you know, call someone, that's fine. If you find their cell phone somehow, that's great, too. A lot of us use our cell phone for business, and we put it out there. You know, my cell phone's on my business card, but use it when you need it. I had one situation where a PR person called me numerous times in a row with a blocked number on my cell phone, and I finally picked it up. I normally wouldn't pick it up, but I picked up because I thought it was someone who was really trying to get in touch with me and that something was wrong. I actually stepped out of the meeting to go answer this call, and it was really just a PR person trying to find out if I got their press release. And I can tell you right now that didn't go over very well.
Yeah, I mean, I really think those examples are so good, especially the RE with the semicolon. It's sneaky, it's confusing, and it's a waste of your time, and it leaves a really bad taste in an editor's mouth of, this person just sent me this, and I just went crazy, because I've gotten those too. Some of them were not press releases. Some of them were just truly spam email or people trying to make it look like you said, we had a conversation, and you're like, oh my God, it's the same thing, and you're in the middle of 100 things, and then you have to take that time to do it. It really leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And to your point about the cell phone, I always call the office phone number first, even if I have their cell phone number, because you never know if that person, like you said, is in a meeting, in the middle of anything, you know, all of that. Always call their office phone number first. If it's urgent, I will send an email. If it's really urgent and I know the person well enough, I'll send them a text. But 90% of the time, I call the office phone number first. And unless you know that there's a big show that the happening in the pet world at the time or something that you might be covering, usually the editor is in their office, or, you know, you can always shoot them an email. I think that's fantastic.
That's really a great point you said about the text messaging. I mean, that is, especially when you're at a show or even if you're trying to get into touch with someone, that's phenomenal. I mean, I prefer to do that way than a telephone call, because even if I am in a meeting or I'm doing something else, I can reply back to you a lot faster usually. And it does come up right on my phone. So it kind of benefits both ways, where an email might not come up right away, but I do get the text message and I can reply back quickly. So I think it kind of satisfies the PR needs, and it also satisfies the editor's, you know, the editorial need as well.
Definitely. And I mean, you could put one letter in and write K, or hold
mm-hmm.
on 5 seconds. You know, it's very true, especially if you guys are all at the same show together or the same pet
yeah.
event and you're just not in the same room.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I always call the office phone number first. I mean, even with you, I'll send you an email or a text and say, do you have time to talk for 10 minutes at this time? You know, I don't just assume that you're not doing anything because I know how busy you are.
Yeah.
Any other tips, good or bad, that you have before I go to a couple of questions from some of our members?
Inform everyone on your team of what you're doing.
Awesome.
It might sound silly, but I can't tell you the number of times where we've gotten a press release from someone, and it happens with, you know, whether a company is doing their own PR, has someone internally or externally doing it. It's a little bit tougher when it's externally, but if it is externally, make sure if you're a company and you're hiring someone to do your PR, make sure they're telling you and keeping you up to date on what they're doing. The worst thing you can do is go to a trade show or, you know, see someone at an open house and the representative at the booth, you're talking to them about this new product or you're talking to them about this new charity initiative that they're doing, and the person at the booth has absolutely no clue what's going on. So everyone, down to your salespeople, down to your distributor, like, tell everyone what's going on. Tell them that you've just sent out this press release, or add them to your press list so that they know what's happening, so they're informed. It makes everyone uncomfortable. It makes the person at the booth uncomfortable because they don't know what's going on. And then it makes the editor uncomfortable because they're telling them about something that's going on in their company. And you're like, well, how come you don't know about this, if this is such a great program? So I'm always really impressed when I go somewhere and the whole team knows about what's happening. It just makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then the other thing in the same context of that is, if you're at a trade show, have everybody that's part of your team have the press release. Make them read it ahead of time. I mean, it takes 10 minutes to read a press release and really absorb it. If you go to the press room and there's press releases in there, whether you have an outside PR firm or you're doing it internally in-house, like you said, the whole team should know, but everybody should have a copy of the press release in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
also
yeah.
if you're hiring somebody to sit at your booth and maybe they're just doing it for that day, they should know inside and out what your product is, what your brand is, what your service is. And one other thing I would add to that is when you set up an appointment with press, make sure, I think this just happened to you, didn't it? Was it you that we were talking about it? Make sure that you're there for your appointment. Because
yeah.
a lot of times you'll set up an appointment with press, and then the press comes and they're waiting and you're nowhere to be seen.
Absolutely. We have, when we do a big trade show like Super Zoo or, you know, for the pet industry, it's usually Super Zoo, Total Pet Expo, or Global, you know, you're moving, you have about maybe a 5-minute window to get from one booth to the other. So you have appointments every half hour or every hour, depending on, you know, what it is. And if you're late for one, that means everything else is late, and that means you're at every other booth late, and it just does not set a good example. Can't make it, tell me. Like, just send, again, we said about the text message, like, send me a text and we can re-plan a different time for me to come by. Just tell me. Or if you're running late with another interview or another client, or, you know, Petco or PetSmart comes to your, a buyer from them comes to your booth and says, hey, we want to talk to you right now, shoot me a text message and tell me that. We'll be completely understanding. You know, we get it. That's the other thing. Like, we get it. We're not the enemy, especially in a trade setting. Like, we're there to help you.
Yeah, and to, you know, for the people that are not at trade shows and just in the pet industry, regardless if they have a new product or if they're a retailer, mm-hmm. you know, anybody like that, wouldn't you say, too, that if you're setting up an appointment with them to talk to them on the phone, that they be on time and prepared?
Absolutely, yeah. The worst thing is to call someone and they either don't know about the product or they ignore your calls. I mean, stuff happens and everyone can understand that. Just tell us that stuff happens. You know, tell us if something happened, you need to rearrange it. That's totally okay. I have a lot of times that our writers will call retailers or a manufacturer or something, and then they don't respond or they just aren't there. They get a voicemail. And then a week later, they want to know why they're not included in an article. And it was like, well, you've tried to, you know, get in touch with you. We've tried to do that. This is what's happening. We can't do an article about you if you don't talk to us.
Right. And on that same notion, I've always given people the sense of urgency. Like, if you have press calling, you know, even if you're as busy as you are, you may lose that opportunity if you don't take the time to stop and talk to them. You know, like you said, people will know. But I mean, I've had examples where press will call and I'm like, I couldn't even take the phone call and I call them back. If you call them back relatively quickly, don't you think that will get them a quicker chance to get in the magazine or the article or whatever it is?
Absolutely. For the most case, I mean, I can only speak for what I've done and, you know, how our writers do things, but you know, we really try to work around people and we try to work around schedules and, you know, try to make as much effort as possible to try to, you know, understand that you're also running a business. In the case of like a retailer, if we're calling you, you know, you're also running a business. We understand a customer might come in, you know, or pick up the phone and say, I have a customer here. Can I please give you a call back? I understand we were supposed to be on a call right now, but I'll give you a call back in 10 minutes. And then call them back in 10 minutes when the customer leaves. Just, you know, it's simple kind of common courtesy things. And if you just think about it that way, it makes more sense.
Right. And I also think for people that are, you know, they should also have their product mission statement down. So when a press person or an editor is contacting them, that they have that down and they're not just immediately nervous. And I know that, you know, if you're new into the world of pitching an editor or, you know, just in running your own business, that first call comes in from, you know, a major magazine or just a local writer could really throw you for a loop. So have you had any examples of that where you call somebody and they're completely freaked out? They can't get their stuff together to talk to you?
I've had it actually in person, not as much on the phone, but actually I've had it in person. And what I usually try to, make them, you know, calm them down, like, it's okay, it's fine, you know, don't worry about it. Let's walk through it. And I kind of try to lead the conversation that way. But the best thing I feel like you can do in that case is to actually tell the editor or the writer or whomever, whether it's on the phone or in person, be like, look, I just started my company. I haven't done this, you know, a lot, and I'm a little nervous. Can you kind of bear with me a little bit? And in most cases, I think especially when you're dealing with a trade publication or, you know, something like that where it's a friendly media conversation, I think they all completely understand because they've been there too. They've been unprepared for an interview in the past or, you know, it's been their first interview. They'll completely understand.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice that we are all human, so take
exactly.
a breath, right?
Exactly,
okay, so
yeah.
I have a question from one of my members, and we kind of covered this before, but I actually want to revisit. She said, in how many words or less should my pitch be? So I'm thinking subject line and the actual pitch itself.
You know, subject line, I would say keep it probably to about 10 words, like a concise
right.
sentence. For the body, I think it really depends on what you're pitching, but I wouldn't go more than, you know, I would keep it to like under 200 words. Think of like a short blog post. Like when people are reading, people don't want to read that much. They don't want to sit there and read an 800-word story. Well, I don't want to sit there and read an 800-word press release. I want to the point. So I would say under 200 words. But here's another interesting thing. It depends on what you're pitching as well. And this is where knowing your research. A lot of magazines have very clear guidelines on their websites. So it'll say for a new product release, send me 40 words or send me this amount of words because that's the only amount of space that they have when they're actually putting it together. So do your research a little bit, and then if there's not that guidance, I would say keep it under 200 words at least.
I think that's really great advice. And the under 200 words, let me ask you this. That would be for the pitch itself. Is it still okay to put the about the company below that? How do you feel about that?
I think that that's okay. I would still put the about company in case, especially because if you're dealing with maybe someone who's new to the industry or new to your product or new to your company, I think that that's still important to put at the end. I would keep the actual release itself to about, you know, about 200 words.
That's really fantastic advice. And for the magazines with the clear guidelines, a lot of times it's in the magazine's media kit. And somebody that might be new to pitching may not even know what a media kit is on a magazine. A lot of times it's just for advertising, but it's, a lot of publications also have how to pitch, the guidelines, who to pitch it to, all of that in the media kit. So do a little research, as you said, on their website and look and see where the media kit is. There's usually more information there than you'd be surprised.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you have any other tips that you would give to the pet professionals or aspiring new pet professionals that are listening when pitching you or anybody else in the media world to try to get their product noticed or their business noticed?
I think, you know, develop a relationship. Don't try to just sell me on your product or sell the editor on your product. There's a lot of products that go through our desks every day, a lot of similar products that go through our desk every day or that we, you know, come across in the world. I think what's really important in the pet industry is to build that relationship with someone, continue talking to them, say hello at a trade show, you know, develop that because they're more likely to remember you when they're writing a story or they're more likely to, you know, say, oh, I remember that person. They said hello to me in the hallway at Global, or they sent me this really nice pitch. They, you know, they were actually nice about something. We deal with a lot of people who just want to get their product out there and that's it, which I completely understand. But on the other hand, you know, on the other side of that is everyone is doing that. Do something different. You know, actually get to know me or get to know the editor. A lot of times they will, you know, see that I have a dog. So they'll actually like, oh, you think your dog would like this? Or you know what I mean? Or they'll know like another editor has a snake. You know, by knowing those little details too and doing a little bit of research on the person you're pitching to makes it more personable, makes them more interested. If you call me and just automatically pitch me something, you know, pitch me a dog product, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to still get your, you know, product in and I'm going to do all of that. But if you take the time to actually talk to me about the product and the solution to the product and, you know, talk to me about my dog or what's happening with the magazine or get show an interest, there's more likely that you're going to stick in the editor's head than someone who's just, you know, hey, did you get my press release? Okay, great, bye.
Yeah, and totally.
To build that extra relationship.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's also going to stick in your mind for future articles or stories. You might say, oh, hey, I got to call so-and-so. I remember this about them, and they probably could help me with this article that I'm writing, or maybe they can refer me to somebody. And then they're
absolutely
a go-to person. And, you know, that, I think that is just tremendous advice. And it's really true because a lot of people don't realize that. And, you know, with social media these days, everybody has an Instagram account, Twitter, Facebook. So you can find out, even if you read the editor's letter, you can see maybe a picture of Toby in there or yourself with whatever with Toby. But, you know, you can look on somebody's Instagram. And some people might think, oh, that's creepy, it's stalking. It's not. It's a part of research. And I think finding out what they're interested in and, you know, you can even reference and say, hey, I followed you on Instagram. I saw that you like this, this, or this. You know, it's an easy way to, and I think, to break the ice. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. I can tell you a quick story. My dog chews through everything. Toby chews through, I mean, he can't have a toy for more than, like, not even 10 minutes. And it really interests me because people who have all of these tough toys will pitch me and say, hey, I know Toby chews through everything, but my toy doesn't, you know. So I know that they've looked. I know that they know my background. I know that they've actually taken the few minutes to care about what I'm doing. They're not just saying, hey, my toy is tough and that's the end of it. So it really does mean something. Just like when we we do the same thing for our clients. You know, we take an interest in what they're doing and we research, and that's really what it's all about.
And one other thing that I personally like to add is I've always thanked the writers when they write something, whether it's about me, about one of my clients. I go as far as to send them thank you cards or Christmas cards or holiday cards at the end of the year so that they know.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people probably don't thank you, I would assume.
No, that's actually a very good point. When you do that, it really does mean something because, it goes back to developing the relationship with someone, and it's not just using them to get your product in or using them to get your name in, or, you know, it really shows that we care about you. And the other thing I would say, too, is once something is put out there, tweet it from your Instagram account or tweet it from your Twitter account, post it on your Instagram account. Post it on Facebook and tag either the person who wrote it or the company or both in there, because they'll also usually retweet it, so that gets you more coverage even than you probably would have gotten before. And it also just makes them feel good. It makes them feel good that, hey, you know what, I did something good. I was able to help them. And it, you know, furthers that relationship.
Yes, I agree. That is so true. You know, I always try to do everything my due diligence, tag everybody, put everybody in, thank everybody. And I just think that in this fast-paced world, I think people forget that. And, you know, it really kind of leaves, like I said earlier, a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth if you've gone above and beyond, out of your way for somebody, and they don't even bother to shoot you a quick email and say, hey, I just wanted to say thanks. If that's all the time that you have at the moment, that's fine. But I definitely have noticed that, and people just assume that they're going to be given that. And it's like, you know, that you should be grateful for that and let the editor and the writer know. And it makes a difference in their day knowing that they realize, hey, I appreciate all your hard work on that. Because it's not just
Absolutely. Like
you're writing a story when you're doing all of the research and posting photos. It takes time, and I don't think people realize, you know, how long it takes to put out a magazine, to put up an article, even to put up a blog post. It takes time, and I think a thank you is huge.
Well, yep. And a thank you publicly, you know, like on Twitter or something like that, it goes a long way as well. Like it goes a really, really long way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I just want to say thank you so much, speaking of thank yous, for being here today, for your amazing, awesome advice. And if you were not able to ask a question or anything like that for the listeners, we will have this recording sent out to everybody so they can hear it as well. And, Michelle, you know I will be in touch with you. And
yes.
I'm wishing you the best of luck at your new job, and you'll let me know how it goes.
Yes, thank you very much. This has been a wonderful pleasure talking about all of this today.
All right. Thanks so much, Michelle. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.